shipped out to other markets. Inej still remembered the jolt she'd felt when she saw the words, "Rare Spices," painted on the side of one of the warehouses. It was an advertisement, the words framed by two Suli girls, rendered in paint, brown limbs bare. The embroidery of their scant silks, hinted at by golden brushstrokes. Inej had stood there, gaze fastened to the signs less than 2 miles from where the rights to her body had been bought and sold and haggled over, her heart jackrabbiting in her chest, panic seizing her muscles, unable to stop staring at those girls, the bangles on their wrists, the bells around their ankles. Eventually she had willed herself to move, and as if some spell had been broken, she'd run faster than she ever had, back to the slat, racing over the rooftops, the city passing in gray glimpses below her reckless feet. That night she'd dreamed the painted girls had come to life. They were trapped in the brick wall of the warehouse, screaming to be set free. But Inej was powerless to help them. Rare Spices. The sign was still there, faded from the sun. It still held power for her, made her muscles clench, her breath hitch. But maybe when she had her ship, when she'd brought down the first slaver, the paint would blister from the bricks. The cries of those girls in their mint-colored silks would turn to laughter. They would dance for no one but themselves. Ahead, Inej could see a high column topped by Gazan's hand, casting its long shadow over the heart of Kirch's wealth. She imagined her saints wrapping ropes around it and sending it toppling to the ground. She and Kaz drew no stares in their shapeless coats, two boys looking for work on their way to the next shift. Still, Inej could not breathe easily. The Stodwatch patrolled the streets of the warehouse district regularly. And just in case that wasn't enough protection, the shipping companies employed private guards to make sure the doors stayed locked and that none of the workers stocking, stacking, and transporting goods got too free with their hands. The warehouse district was one of the most secure places in Ketterdam, and because of that, it was the last spot Van Eck would look for them. They approached an abandoned linen storehouse. The windows of its lower floors were broken, the bricks above them blackened by soot. The fire must have been recent, but the storehouse wouldn't remain unoccupied for long. It would be cleaned out and rebuilt or simply razed for a new structure. Space was precious in Ketterdam. The padlock on the back door was little challenge to Kaz, and they entered a lower story that had been badly damaged by the fire. The stairway near the front of the building seemed largely intact. They climbed, Inej moving lightly over the boards, Kaz's tread punctuated by the rhythmic thunk of his cane. When they reached the third floor, Kaz directed them to a stockroom where bolts of linen were still piled high in giant pyramids. They were largely undamaged, but those on the bottom were stained with soot, and the fabric had a burnt, unpleasant smell. They were comfortable, though. Inej found a perch by a window that let her feet rest on one bolt and her back on another. She was grateful to simply sit, to look out the window into the watery afternoon light. There wasn't much to see, just the bare brick walls of the warehouses and the grove of huge sugar silos that loomed over the harbor. Kaz took a tin from beneath one of the old sewing machines and passed it to her. She popped it open, revealing hazelnuts, cracked wrappers in wax paper, and a stoppered flask. So this was one of the safe houses Van Eck had been so eager to learn about. Inej uncorked the flask and sniffed. "Water," he said. She drank deeply and ate a few of the sail crackers. She was famished, and she doubted she'd be getting a hot meal any time soon. Kaz had warned her that they couldn't return to Black Vale until nightfall, and even then she didn't think they'd be doing much cooking. She watched him push himself up onto the stack of bolts across from her, resting his cane beside him. But she forced her eyes back to the window, away from the precision of his movements, the taut line of his jaw. Looking at Kaz felt dangerous in a way it hadn't before. She could see the mallet rise, glinting in the stage lights, on Isle Comédier. "He'll never trade if you break me." She was grateful for the weight of her knives. She touched her hands to them as if greeting old friends, felt some of the tension inside her ease. "What did you say to Van Eck on the bridge?" Kaz asked at last.
When we were making the trade.
You will see me once more, but only once.
More Suli proverbs.
A promise to myself. And Vanek.
Careful, Wraith. You're ill-suited to the revenge game. I'm not sure your Suli saints would approve.
My saints don't like bullies. She rubbed her sleeve over the dirty window. Those explosions, she said. Will the others be all right?
None of them were stationed near where the bombs went off. At least, not the ones we saw. We'll know more when we're back on Black Vale.
Inej didn't like that. What if someone had been hurt? What if all of them didn't make it back to the island? After days of fear and waiting, still sitting while her friends might be in trouble was a new kind of frustration. She realized Kaz was studying her, and turned her gaze to his. Sunlight slanted through the windows, turning his eyes the color of strong tea.
He'll never trade if you break me.
She could feel the memory of the words as if they'd burned her throat in the speaking. Kaz didn't look away when he said,
Did he hurt you?
She wrapped her arms around her knees.
Why do you want to know? So that you can be sure I'm capable of taking on some new danger? So that you can add to the list of wrongs for which Vanek must be held to account?
Kaz had been clear about his arrangement with her from the beginning. Inej was just an investment, an asset, worthy of protection. She had wanted to believe they'd become more to each other. Jan Vanek had robbed her of that illusion. Inej was whole, unharmed. She bore no scars or trauma from her ordeal on Isle Commodier that food and sleep would not ease. But Vanek had taken something from her nonetheless.
I'll be no use to him anymore.
Words torn from some hidden place inside her, a truth she could not unknow. She should be glad of it. Better terrible truths than kind lies. She let her fingers drift to the place where the mallet had brushed her leg. Saw Kaz's eyes track the movement. Stopped. She folded her hands in her lap. Shook her head.
No. He didn't hurt me.
Kaz leaned back, his gaze dismantling her slowly. He didn't believe her, but she could not bring herself to try and convince him of this lie. He propped his cane on the floor and used it to brace himself as he slid off the fabric pile.
Rest,
he said. Where are you going?
I have business near the silos, and I want to see what information I can pick up.
He left his cane leaning against one of the bolts. You're not taking it.
Too conspicuous. Especially if Vanek has gotten the Stodwatch involved. Rest,
he repeated.
You'll be safe here.
Inej closed her eyes. She could trust him enough for that. When Kaz woke her, the sun was setting, gilding the tower of Gazin in the distance. They left the storehouse, locking it behind them, and joined the workers walking home for the night. They continued south and east, dodging the busiest parts of the barrel, where no doubt the Stodwatch would be prowling, and headed toward a more residential area. In the narrow canal, they boarded a small boat that they piloted down Graf Canal and into the mists shrouding Black Vale Island. Inej felt her excitement increasing as they picked their way through the mausoleums toward the center of the island.
Let them be okay, she prayed. Let them all be okay.
Finally, she glimpsed a dim light and heard the faint murmur of voices. She broke into a run, not caring when her cap slipped from her head to the vine-covered ground. She tore open the door to the tomb. The five people inside rose, guns and fists raised, and Inej skidded to a halt. Nina shrieked.
Inej!
She flew across the room and crushed Inej in a tight hug. Then they were all around her at once, hugging her, clapping her on the back. Nina would not let go of her. Jesper threw his arms around both of them and crowed,
The Wraith returns!
As Matthias stood back, formal as ever, but smiling. She looked from the shoeboy seated at the table in the center of the tomb to the identical shoeboy hovering in front of her.
Weilen?
She asked of the one closest to her. He broke into a grin, but it slipped sideways when he said,
Sorry about my father.
Inej pulled him into the hug and whispered,
We are not our fathers.
Kaz wrapped his cane on the stone floor. He was standing in the doorway to the tomb.
If everyone is done cuddling, we have a job to do.
Hold up, said Jesper, arms still slung around Inej. We're not talking about the job until we figure out what those things were on the stave.
What things? Asked Inej.
Did you miss half the stave blowing up?
We saw the bomb at the White Rose go off, said Inej. And then we heard another explosion.
At the anvil, said Nina.
After that, Inej said, we ran.
Jesper nodded sagely.
That was your big mistake. If you'd stuck around, you could have nearly been killed by a shoe guy with wings.
Two of them, said Wylan.
Inej frowned.
Two wings?
Two guys, said Jesper.
With wings? Inej probed.
Like a bird?
Nina dragged her toward the cluttered table, where a map of Ketterdam had been spread.
No, more like a moth.
A deadly mechanical moth.
Are you hungry? We have chocolate biscuits.
Oh, sure, said Jesper. She gets the cookie hoard.
Nina planted an edge in a chair and plunked the tin down in front of her.
Eat, she commanded. There were two shoe with wings and a man and a woman who were not normal.
Nina's power had no effect on them, said Wylan.
Hmm,
Nina said noncommittally, nibbling daintily at the edge of a biscuit. Inej had never seen Nina nibble daintily on anything. Her appetite clearly hadn't returned. But Inej wondered if there was more to it. Matthias joined them at the table.
The shoe woman we faced was stronger than me, Jesper, and Wylan put together.
You heard right, said Jesper.
Stronger than Wylan.
I did my part, objected Wylan.
You most definitely did, Merchling. What was that violet stuff?
Something new I've been working on. It's based on a Ravkin invention called Lumia. The flames are almost impossible to extinguish, but I changed the formulation so that it burns a lot hotter.
We were lucky to have you there, said Matthias with a small bow that left Wylan looking pleased and entirely flustered. The creatures were nearly impervious to bullets.
Nearly, Nina said grimly. They had nets.
They were looking to hunt and capture Grisha.
Kaz rested his shoulder against the wall.
Were they using Parem?
She shook her head.
No, I don't think they were Grisha. They didn't display any powers and they weren't healing their wounds. It looked like they had some kind of metal plating beneath their skin.
She spoke to Kuwe rapidly in Shu.
Kuwe groaned.
Care good.
They all looked at him blankly. He sighed and said,
When my father made Parem, the government tests it on fabricators.
Jesper cocked his head to one side.
Is it just me, or is your Kirch getting better?
My Kirch is good. You all talk too fast.
Okay, drawled Jesper. Why did your dear shoe friends test Parem on fabricators?
He was sprawled in his chair, hands resting on his revolvers, but Inej did not quite believe his relaxed pose.
They have more fabricators in captivity, said Kuwe.
They're the easiest to capture,
Matthias put in, ignoring Nina's sour look.
Until recently, they received little combat training, and without Parem, their powers are poorly suited to battle.
Our leaders want to conduct more experiments,
Kuwe continued.
But they don't know how many Grisha they can find.
Maybe if they hadn't killed so many,
Nina suggested. Kuwe nodded, missing or ignoring the sarcasm in Nina's voice.
Yes, they have few Grisha, and using Parem shortens a Grisha's life. So they bring doctors to work with the fabricators already sick from Parem. They plan to make a new kind of soldier. The Caregood. I don't know if they succeeded.
I think I can answer that question with a big fat yes, said Jesper.
Specially tailored soldiers, Nina said thoughtfully. Before the war, I heard they tried something similar in Rothka. Reinforcing skeletons, tampering with bone density, metal implants. They experimented on First Army volunteers.
Oh, stop grimacing, Matthias. Your Fjerdin masters probably would have gotten around to trying the exact same thing given the time.
Fabricators deal in solids, said Jesper. Metal, glass, textiles. This seems like Korporalkai work.
Still talking as if he isn't one of them, Inej noted.
They all knew Jesper was a fabricator. Even Kuwe had discovered it in the chaos that followed their escape from the Ice Court.
And yet, Jesper rarely acknowledged his power.
She supposed it was his secret to tend as he wished. "Tailors blur the line between fabricator and corporalmic," said Nina. "I had a teacher in Ravka, Jenya Safin. She could have been either a heartrender or a fabricator if she'd wanted to. Instead, she became a great tailor. The work you're describing is really just an advanced kind of tailoring." Inej could not quite fathom it. "But you're telling us you saw a man with wings somehow grafted onto his back?" "No, they were mechanical. Some kind of metal frame. And canvas, maybe? But it's more sophisticated than just slapping a pair of wings between someone's shoulder blades. You'd have to link the musculature, hollow out the bones to decrease body weight, then somehow compensate for the loss of bone marrow. Maybe replace the skeleton entirely. The level of complexity..."
"Parem," said Matthias, his pale blonde brows furrowed. "A fabricator using Parem could manage that kind of tailoring."
Nina shoved back from the table. "Won't the Merchant Council do anything about the shoe attack?" she asked Kaz. "Are they just allowed to waltz into Kirch and start blowing things up and kidnapping people?"
"I doubt the council will act," he said. "Unless the Shu who attacked you were wearing uniforms. The Shuhan government will probably deny any knowledge of the attack."
"So they just get away with it?"
"Maybe not," Kaz said. "I spent a little time gathering intelligence at the harbors today. Those two Shu warships, the Council of Tides, dry-docked them."
Jesper's boots slid off the table and hit the floor with a thud.
"What?" "They pulled back the tide. All of it. Used the sea to carve a new island with both of those warships beached on it. You can see them lying on their sides, sails dragging in the mud right there in the harbor."
"A show of force," said Matthias.
"On behalf of Grisha or the city?"
Jesper asked.
Kaz shrugged.
"Who knows? But it might make the Shoe a little more careful about hunting on the Ketterdam streets."
"Could the Council of Tides help us?" asked Wylan. "If they know about Parem, they have to be worried about what might happen if the wrong people get their hands on it."
"How would you find them?" Nina asked bitterly. "No one knows the Tides' identities. No one ever sees them coming or going from those watchtowers."
Inej suddenly wondered if Nina had tried to garner help from the Tides when she'd first arrived in Ketterdam. 16 years old, a Grisha separated from her country, with no friends or knowledge of the city.
"The Shoe won't stay cowed forever. They created those soldiers for a reason."
"It's smart, when you think about it," said Kaz. "The Shoe were maximizing their resources. A Grisha addicted to Parem can't survive for long, so the Shoe found another way to exploit their powers."
Matthias shook his head.
"Indestructible soldiers who outlive their creators."
Jesper rubbed a hand over his mouth.
"And who can go out and hunt more Grisha. I swear to the saints, one of them found us by our smell."
"Is that even possible?" Inej asked, horrified.
"I've never heard of Grisha giving off a particular scent," said Nina.
"But I guess it's possible. If the soldiers' olfactory receptors were improved, maybe it's a scent ordinary people can't detect."
"I don't think this was the first attack," Jesper said. "Wylan, remember how terrified that squalor in the rare books room was? And what about that merch ship Roddy told us about?"
Kaz nodded.
"It was torn apart. A bunch of sailors were found dead. At the time, they thought the crew's squalor might have gone rogue, busted out of his indenture. But maybe he didn't disappear. Maybe he was captured. He was one of old Councilman Hode's Grisha."
"Emil Retvenko," said Nina.
"That's the one. You knew him."
"I knew of him. Most of the Grisha in Ketterdam know about each other. We share information, try to keep an eye out for one another. The Shoe must have spies here if they knew where to look for each of us."
"The other Grisha?" Nina stood up, then grabbed the back of her chair as if the sudden movement had made her woozy. Inej and Matthias were on their feet instantly.
"Are you all right?" Inej asked. "Splendid," Nina said with an unconvincing smile. "But if the other Grisha in Ketterdam are in danger..."
"You're going to do what?"
Jesper said,
and Inej was surprised by the harsh edge to his voice.
"You're lucky to be alive after what happened today. Those Shoe soldiers can smell us, Nina."
He turned on Kuei.
"Your father made that possible."
"Hey," said Wylan, "go easy.
Go easy." Like things weren't bad enough for the Grisha before. What if they track us to the Black Veil? There are three of us here.
Kaz rapped his knuckles against the table.
Wyland's right. Go easy. The city wasn't safe before, and it isn't safe now. So let's all get rich enough to relocate.
Nina placed her hands on her hips.
Are we really talking about money?
We're talking about the job and making Van Eck pay up.
Inej looped her arm through Nina's.
I want to know what we can do to help the Grisha who are still in Ketterdam.
She saw the mallet glint as it reached the top of its arc.
And I'd also like to know how we're going to make Van Eck suffer.
There are bigger issues here, said Matthias. Not for me, Jesper said. I have 2 days left to get right with my father.
Inej wasn't sure she'd heard correctly.
Your father?
Yep. Family reunion in Ketterdam, said Jesper. Everyone's invited.
Inej wasn't fooled by Jesper's airy tone.
Valone?
His hands returned to his revolvers.
Yeah. So I'd really like to know just how we intend to settle this score.
Kaz shifted his weight on his cane.
Have any of you wondered what I did with all the cash Pekka Rollins gave us?
Inej's gut clenched.
You went to Pekka Rollins for a loan?
I would never go into debt with Rollins. I sold him my shares in Fifth Harbor and the Crow Club.
No. Kaz had built those places from nothing. They were testaments to what he'd done for the dregs.
Kaz, where do you think the money went?
He repeated.
Guns?
Asked Jesper.
Ships?
Queried Inej.
Bombs?
Suggested Wylan.
Political bribes?
Offered Nina.
They all looked at Matthias. This is where you tell us how awful we are, she whispered.
He shrugged.
They all seem like practical choices.
Sugar, said Kaz.
Jesper nudged the sugar bowl down the table to him.
Kaz rolled his eyes. Not for my coffee, you podge. I use the money to buy up sugar shares and place them in private accounts for all of us. Under aliases, of course.
I don't like speculation, said Matthias.
Of course you don't. You like things you can see. Like piles of snow and benevolent tree gods.
Oh, there it is, said Inej, resting her head on Nina's shoulder and beaming at Matthias. I miss his glower.
Besides, Kaz said, it's hardly speculation if you know the outcome.
You know something about the sugar crop?
Jesper asked.
I know something about the supply.
Wyland sat up straighter.
The silos, he said. The silos at Sweet Reef.
Very good, Merchling.
Matthias shook his head.
What's Sweet Reef?
It's an area just south of Sixth Harbor, said Inej.
She remembered the view of the vast silos towering over the warehouse district. They were the size of small mountains.
It's where they keep molasses, raw cane, and the processing plants to refine sugar. We were right near there today.
That wasn't a coincidence, was it?
No,
said Kaz.
I wanted you to get a look at the terrain. Most sugarcane comes from the southern colonies in Novia Zem, but there won't be another crop until 3 months from now. This season's crop has already been harvested, processed, refined, and stored in the Sweet Reef silos.
There are 30 silos, said Wylan. My father owns 10 of them.
Jesper whistled.
Van Eck controls one-third of the world's sugar supply?
He owns the silos, said Kaz, but only a fraction of the sugar inside them. He maintains the silos at his own expense, supplies guards for them, and pays the squalors who monitor the humidity inside the silos to make sure the sugar stays dry and separated. The merchants who own the sugar pay him a small percentage of every one of their sales. It adds up quickly.
Such enormous wealth under one man's protection,
Matthias considered.
If anything were to happen to those silos, the price of sugar would go off like a cheap pair of six-shooters,
Jesper said, popping to his feet and starting to pace.
The price would climb, and keep climbing, said Kaz. And as of a few days ago, we own shares in the companies that don't store sugar with Van Eck. Right now they're worth about what we paid for them. But once we destroy the Sugar and Van Eck silos...
Jesper was bouncing on the balls of his feet.
Our shares will be worth 5, maybe 10 times what they are now.
Try 20.
Jesper hooted.
Don't mind if I do.
We could sell at a huge profit, said Weiland.
We'd be rich overnight.
Inej thought of a sleek schooner,
weighted with heavy cannon.
It could be hers. 30 million Kruger rich? She asked.
The reward Van Eck owed them for the ice court job, one he'd never intended to pay.
The barest smile ghosted over Kaz's lips. Give or take 1 million.
Weiland was gnawing on his thumbnails.
My father can weather a loss. The other merchants, the one who owned the sugar in his silos, will be hit worse.
True, said Matthias.
And if we destroy the silos, it will be clear Van Eck was targeted.
We could try to make it look like an accident, suggested Nina.
It will, said Kaz. Initially, thanks to the weevil. Tell them, Weiland.
Weiland sat forward like a schoolboy, eager to prove he had the answers. He drew a vial from his pocket.
This version works.
It's a weevil? Inej asked, examining it.
A chemical weevil, said Jesper. But Weiland still hasn't named it. My vote is for the weevil.
That's terrible, said Weiland.
It's brilliant,
Jesper winked.
Just like you.
Weiland blushed daylily pink.
I helped as well,
added Kuei, looking sulky.
He did help,
Weiland said.
We'll make him a plaque, said Kaz. Tell them how it works.
Weiland cleared his throat.
I got the idea from cane blight. Just a little bit of bacteria can ruin a whole crop. Once the weevil is dropped into the silo, it will keep burrowing down, using the refined sugar as fuel until the sugar is nothing but useless mush.
It reacts to sugar?
Asked Jesper.
Yes, any kind of sugar. Even trace amounts, if there's enough moisture present. So keep it away from sweat, blood, saliva.
Do not lick weevil.
Does someone want to write that down?
Those silos are huge, said Inej. How much will we need?
1 vial for each silo,
Weiland said. Inej blinked at the small glass tube.
Truly.
Tiny and ferocious,
Jesper said. He winked again.
Just like you.
Nina burst out laughing, and Inej couldn't help returning Jesper's grin. Her body ached, and she would have liked to sleep for 2 days straight, but she felt some part of herself uncoiling, releasing the terror and anger of the last week.
The weevil will make the destruction of the sugar look like an accident,
said Weiland.
It will, said Kaz.
Until the other merchants learn that Van Eck has been buying up sugar that isn't stored in his silos.
Weiland's eyes widened.
What? I used half the money for our shares. I used the rest to purchase shares on behalf of Van Eck. Well, on behalf of a holding company created under Alice's name. Couldn't make it too obvious. The shares were purchased in cash, untraceable. But the certificates authenticating their purchase will be found stamped and sealed at his attorney's office. Cornelis Smeet,
Matthias said in surprise.
Deception upon deception. You weren't just trying to figure out where Alice Van Eck was being kept when you broke into his office.
You don't win by running one game,
said Kaz.
Van Eck's reputation will take a hit when the sugar is lost. But when the people who paid him to keep it safe find out he profited from their loss, they'll look more closely at those silos.
And find the remnants of the weevil,
finished Weiland.
Destruction of property, tampering with the markets, Inej murmured. It will be the end of him.
She thought of Van Eck, gesturing to his lackey to take up the mallet.
I don't want it to be a clean break. Shatter the bone.
Could he go to prison?
He'll be charged with violating a contract and attempting to interfere with the market,
said Kaz.
There's no greater crime according to Kurt's law. The sentences are the same as for murder. He could hang.
Will he? Weiland said softly. He used his finger to draw a line across the map of Ketterdam, all the way from Sweet Reef to the Barrel. Then on to the Geldstraat, where his father lived.
Jan Van Eck had tried to kill Weiland. It cast him off like refuse. But Inej wondered if Weiland was ready to doom his father to execution.
I doubt he'll swing, said Kaz. My guess is they'll saddle him with a lesser charge. None of the Merchant Council will want to put one of their own on the gallows. As for whether or not he'll actually ever see the inside of a jail cell, he shrugged. Depends on how good his lawyer is.
But he'll be barred from trade, said Weiland, his voice almost dazed. His holdings will be seized to make good on the lost sugar.
It will be the end of the Van Eck Empire, Kaz said.
What about Alice? Asked Weiland. Again, Kaz shrugged.
No one is going to believe that girl had anything to do with a financial scheme. Alice will sue for divorce and probably move back in with her parents. She'll cry for a week, sing for two, and then get over it. Maybe she'll marry a prince.
Or maybe a music teacher, Inej said, remembering Bajan's panic when he heard Alice had been abducted.
There's just one small problem, said Jesper. And by small, I mean huge, glaring. Let's scrap this and go get a lager. The silos. I know we're all about breaching the unbreachable, but how are we supposed to get inside?
Kaz can pick the locks, said Weiland.
No, said Kaz. I can't.
I don't think I've ever heard those words leave your lips, said Nina.
Say it again. Nice and slow.
Kaz ignored her.
They're quatrefoil locks. Four keys and four locks turned at the same time or they trigger security doors and an alarm. I can pick any lock, but I can't pick four at once.
Then how do we get in?
Jesper asked.
The silos also open at the top.
Those silos are nearly 20 stories high. Is Inej going to go up and down 10 of them in one night?
Just one, said Kaz.
And then what? Said Nina, hands back on her hips and green eyes blazing. Inej remembered the towering silos, the gaps between them.
And then, said Inej, I'm going to walk a high wire from one silo to the next.
Nina threw her hands in the air.
And all of it without a net, I suppose.
A Gaffa never performs with a net, Inej said indignantly.
Does a Gaffa frequently perform 20 stories above cobblestones after being held prisoner for a week?
There will be a net, said Kaz. It's in place behind the silo guardhouse already, under a stack of sandbags.
The silence in the tomb was sudden and complete. Inej couldn't believe what she was hearing.
I don't need a net.
Kaz consulted his watch.
Didn't ask. We have 6 hours to sleep and heal up. I'll nab supplies from the Circus Circoa. They're camped on the western outskirts of town. Inej, make a list of what you'll need. We hit the silos in 24 hours.
Absolutely not, said Nina. Inej needs to rest.
That's right, Jesper agreed. She looks thin enough to blow away in a stiff breeze.
I'm fine, said Inej.
Jesper rolled his eyes.
You always say that.
Isn't that how things are done around here? Asked Weiland. We all tell Kaz we're fine and then do something stupid.
Are we that predictable? Said Inej.
Weiland and Matthias said in unison,
Yes.
Do you want to beat Van Eck?
Kaz asked. Nina blew out an exasperated breath.
Of course.
Kaz's eyes scanned the room, moving from face to face.
Do you? Do you want your money? The money we fought and bled and nearly drowned for? Or do you want Van Eck to be glad he picked a bunch of nobodies from the barrel to scam? Because no one else is going to get him for us. No one else is going to care that he cheated us or that we risked our lives for nothing. No one else is going to make this right. So I'm asking, do you want to beat Van Eck?
Yes, said Inej. She wanted some kind of justice.
Soundly, said Nina.
Around the ears with Weiland's flute, said Jesper.
One by one, they nodded.
The stakes have changed, said Kaz. Based on Van Eck's little demonstration today, wanted posters with our faces on them are probably already going up all over Ketterdam, and I suspect he'll be offering a handsome reward. He's trading on his credibility, and the sooner we destroy it, the better. We're going to take his money. his reputation, and his freedom. All in one night. But that means we don't stop. Angry as he is, tonight Vanek is going to eat a fine dinner and fall off to a fitful sleep in his soft, merch bed. Those Stodwatch grunts will rest their weary heads until they get to the next shift, wondering if maybe they'll earn a little overtime. But we don't stop. The clock is ticking. We can rest when we're rich.
Agreed. Another round of nods.
Nina, there are guards who walk the perimeter of the silos. You'll be the distraction. A distressed Rothkin, new to the city, looking for work in the warehouse district. You need to keep them occupied long enough for the rest of us to get inside and for Inej to scale the first silo. Then...
On one condition, said Nina, arms crossed.
This is not a negotiation.
Everything is a negotiation with you, Brecker. You probably bartered your way out of the womb. If I'm going to do this, I want us to get the rest of the Grisha out of the city.
Forget it. I'm not running a charity for refugees.
Then I'm out.
Fine. You're out. You'll still get your share of the money for your work on the Ice Court job. But I don't need you on this crew.
No, said Inej quietly. But you need me. Kaz rested his cane across his legs.
It seems everyone is forming alliances.
Inej remembered the way the sun had caught the brown in his eyes only hours before. Now they were the color of coffee gone bitter in the brewing. But she was not going to back down. They're called friendships, Kaz. His gaze shifted to Nina.
I don't like being held hostage.
And I don't like shoes that pinch at the toes, but we must all suffer. Think of it as a challenge for your monstrous brain.
After a long pause, Kaz said,
How many people are we talking about?
There are less than 30 Grisha in the city that I know of, other than the Council of Tides.
And how would you like to corral them? Hand out pamphlets directing them to a giant raft?
There's a tavern near the Rovkan Embassy. We use it to leave messages and exchange information. I can get the word out from there. Then we just need a ship. Vanek can't watch all the harbors.
Inej didn't want to disagree, but it had to be said.
I think he can. Vanek has the full power of the city government behind him.
And you didn't see his reaction when he discovered Kaz had dared to take Alice.
Please tell me, he actually frothed at the mouth, said Jesper.
It was a close thing.
Kaz limped to the tomb door, staring out into the darkness.
Vanek won't have made the choice to involve the city lightly. It's a risk. And he wouldn't take that risk if he didn't intend to capitalize on it to the fullest. He'll have every harbor and watchtower on the coast on full alert, with orders to question anyone trying to leave Ketterdam. He'll just claim that he knows Weiland's captors may plan to take him from Kerch.
Trying to get all of the Grisha out will be extremely dangerous, said Matthias. The last thing we need is for a group of them to fall into Vanek's hands, when he may still have a store of Parem.
Jesper tapped his fingers on the grips of his revolvers.
We need a miracle, and possibly a bottle of whiskey. Helps lubricate the brain pan.
No, said Kaz slowly. A ship. A ship that couldn't possibly be suspect. That Vanek and the Stodwatch would never have cause to stop. We need one of his ships.
Nina wriggled to the edge of her chair.
Vanek's trading company must have plenty of ships heading to Ravka.
Matthias folded his huge arms, considering.
Get the Grisha refugees out on one of Vanek's own vessels.
We'd need a forged manifest and papers of transit, said Inej. Why do you think they kicked Specht out of the Navy?
Kaz asked.
He was forging leave documents and supply orders.
Weiland pulled on his lip.
But it's not just a question of a few documents. Let's say there are 30 Grisha refugees. A ship's captain is going to want to know why 30 people...
31,
Kuei said.
Are you actually following all of this?
Said Jesper incredulously.
A ship to Ravka, said Kuei. I understand that very well.
Kaz shrugged.
If we're going to steal a boat, we might as well put you on it.
31 it is, said Nina with a smile. Though if the muscle twitching in Matthias's jaw was any indication,
he wasn't nearly so thrilled.
Okay, said Weiland, smoothing the crease in the map. But a ship's captain is going to wonder why there are 31 people being added to his manifest.
Not if the captain thinks he's in on a secret, said Kaz. Van Eck will write a passionately worded letter calling upon the captain to use the utmost discretion in transporting these valuable political refugees and asking him to keep them hidden from anyone susceptible to Shu bribes, including the Stodwatch, at all costs. Van Eck will promise the captain a huge reward when he returns, just to make sure he doesn't get any ideas about selling out the Grisha. We already have a sample of Van Eck's handwriting. We just need a seal.
Where does he keep it?
Jesper asked Weiland.
In his office. At least, that's where it used to be.
We'll have to get in and out without him noticing, said Inej. And we'll have to move quickly after that. As soon as Van Eck realizes the seal is missing, he'll be able to guess what we're up to.
We broke into the ice court, said Kaz. I think we can manage a merchant's office.
Well, we did almost die breaking into the ice court, said Inej.
Several times, if memory serves, noted Jesper.
Inej and I lifted a decapel from Van Eck. We already know the layout of the house. We'll be fine.
Weiland's finger was once more tracing the Geldstraat.
You didn't have to get into my father's safe. Van Eck keeps the seal in a safe, said Jesper with a laugh. It's almost like he wants us to take it. Kaz is better at making friends with combination locks than with people.
You've never seen a safe like this, Weiland said. He had it installed after the decapel was stolen. It has a 7-digit combination that he resets every day, and the locks are built with false tumblers to confuse safecrackers.
Kaz shrugged.
Then we go around it. I'll take expediency over finesse.
Weiland shook his head.
The safe walls are made of a unique alloy reinforced with Grisha steel.
An explosion?
Suggested Jesper.
Kaz raised a brow. I suspect Van Eck will notice that.
A very small explosion?
Nina snorted.
You just want to blow something up.
Actually, said Weiland.
He cocked his head to one side, as if he were listening to a distant song.
Come morning, there would be no hiding we'd been there. But if we can get the refugees out of the harbor before my father discovers the theft, I'm not exactly sure where I can get the materials, but it just might work.
Inej,
Jesper whispered.
She leaned forward, peering at Weiland.
Is that a scheming face?
Possibly.
Weiland seemed to snap back to reality.
It is not, but I do think I have an idea.
We're waiting, Merchling,
Kaz said.
The weevil is basically just a much more stable version of auric acid.
Yes, said Jesper. Of course, and that is...
A corrosive. It gives off a minor amount of heat once it starts to react, but it's incredibly powerful and incredibly volatile. It can cut through Grisha steel and just about anything else other than balsa glass.
Glass?
The glass and the sap from the balsa neutralize the corrosion.
And where does one come by such a thing?
We can find one of the ingredients I need in an ironworks. They use the corrosive to strip oxidation off metals. The other might be tougher to come by. We'd need a quarry with a vein of Aris or a similar halide compound.
The closest quarry is at Olendal, said Kaz.
That could work. Once we have both compounds, we'll have to be very careful with the transport,
Weiland continued.
Actually, we'll have to be more than careful. After the reaction is completed, auric acid is basically harmless, but while it's active... Well, it's a good way to lose your hands.
So, said Jesper, if we get these ingredients and manage to transport them separately and activate this auric acid and don't lose a limb in the process...
Weiland tugged at a lock of his hair.
We could burn through the safe door in a matter of minutes.
Without damaging the contents inside?
Asked Nina.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Repeated Kaz.
I've worked with worse. We'll need to find out which ships are departing for Ravka tomorrow night and get spec started on the manifest and papers of transit. Nina, once we've got a vessel chosen, Can your little band of refugees make it to the docks on their own? Or will they need their hands held for that, too?
I'm not sure how well they know the city, admitted Nina. Kaz drummed his fingers over the head of his cane.
Wylan and I can tackle the safe. We can send Jesper to escort the Grisha. And we can map a route so Matthias can get Kuwait to the docks. But that leaves only Nina to distract the guards and work the net for Inej at the silos. The net needs at least 3 people on it for it to be worth anything.
Inej stretched, gently rolled her shoulders. It was good to be among these people again. She had been gone for only a few days, and they were sitting in a damp mausoleum. But it still felt like a homecoming.
I told you, she said. I don't work with Annette.
12. Kaz. They stayed up planning well past midnight. Kaz was wary of the changes to the plan, as well as the prospect of managing Nina's pack of Grisha. But though he gave no indication to the others, there were elements of this new course that appealed to him. It was possible that Van Eck would piece together what the Shu were doing and go after the city's remaining Grisha himself. They were a weapon Kaz didn't want to see in the Mercher's arsenal, but they couldn't let this little rescue slow them down. With so many opponents and the Stodwatch involved, they couldn't afford it. Given enough time, the Shu would stop worrying about those dry-docked warships and the Council of Tides and find their way to Black Vale. Kaz wanted Kuwait out of the city and removed from play as soon as possible. At last, they put their lists and sketches aside. The wreckage of their makeshift meal was cleared from the table to avoid attracting the rats of Black Vale, and the lanterns were doused. The others would sleep. Kaz could not. He'd meant what he'd said. Van Eck had more money, more allies, and the might of the city behind him. They couldn't just be smarter than Van Eck. They had to be relentless. And Kaz could see what the others couldn't. They'd won the battle today. They'd set out to get Inej back from Van Eck, and they had. But the Merch was still winning the war. That Van Eck was willing to risk involving the Stodwatch, and by extension the Merchant Council, meant he really believed he was invulnerable. Kaz still had the note Van Eck had sent arranging the meeting on Velgaluk, but it was shoddy proof of the man's schemes. He remembered what Pekka Rollins had said back at the Emerald Palace, when Kaz had claimed that the Merchant Council would never stand for Van Eck's illegal activities. And who's going to tell them? Like an owl rat from the worst slum in the barrel? Don't kid yourself, Brecker. At the time, Kaz had barely been able to think beyond the red haze of anger that descended when he was in Rollins's presence. It stripped away the reason that guided him. The patience he relied on. Around Pekka, he lost the shape of who he was. No, he lost the shape of who he'd fought to become. He wasn't Dirty Hands, or Kaz Brecker, or even the toughest lieutenant in the dregs. He was just a boy fueled by a white flame of rage. One that threatened to burn the pretense of the hard-won civility he maintained to ash. But now, leaning on his cane among the graves of Black Vale, he could acknowledge the truth of Pekka's words. You couldn't go to war with an upstanding merch like Van Eck, not if you were a thug with a reputation dirtier than a stable hand's boot sole. To win, Kaz would have to level the field. He would show the world what he already knew. Despite his soft hands and fine suits, Van Eck was a criminal, just as bad as any barrel thug, worse, because his word was worth nothing. Kaz didn't hear Inej approach. He just knew when she was there, standing beside the broken columns of a white marble mausoleum. She'd found soap to wash with somewhere, and the scent of the dank rooms of Isle Comédier, that faint hint of hay and grease paint, was gone. Her black hair shone in the moonlight, already tucked tidily away in a coil at her neck, and her stillness was so complete, she might have been mistaken for one of the cemetery's stone guardians. Why the net, Kaz? Yes. Why the net? Why something that would complicate the assault he'd planned on the silos and leave them twice as open to exposure? I couldn't bear to watch you fall. I just went to a lot of trouble to get my spider back. I didn't do it so you could crack your skull open the next day. You protect your investments. Her voice sounded almost resigned. That's right. And you're going off-island. He should be more concerned that she could guess his next move. Roddy says the old man's getting restless. I need to go smooth his feathers. Per Haskell was still the leader of the dregs, and Kaz knew he liked the perks of that position, but not the work that went with it. With Kaz gone for so long, things would be starting to unravel. Besides, when Haskell got antsy, he liked to do something stupid just to remind people he was in charge. We should get eyes on Van Eck's house, too, said Inej. I'll take care of it. He'll have strengthened his security. The rest went unspoken. There was no one better equipped to slip past Van Eck's defenses than the Wraith. He should tell her to rest. Tell her he would handle the surveillance on his own. Instead, he nodded, and set out for one of the gondolas hidden in the willows, ignoring the relief he felt when she followed. After the raucous din of the afternoon, the canals seemed more silent than usual, the water unnaturally still. Do you think West Stave will be back to itself tonight? Inej asked, voice low. She'd learned a canal rat's caution when it came to traveling the waterways of Ketterdam. I doubt it. The Stad Watch will be investigating, and tourists don't come to Ketterdam for the thrill of being blown to bits. A lot of businesses were going to lose money. Come tomorrow morning. Kaz suspected the front steps of the Stad Hall would be crowded with the owners of pleasure houses and hotels demanding answers. Could be quite a scene. Good. Let the members of the Merchant Council concern themselves with problems other than Jan Van Eck and his missing son. Van Eck will have changed things up since we lifted the decapel. And now that he knows Weiland is with us, agreed Inej. Where are we going to meet the old man? The Knuckle. They couldn't intercept Haskell at the slat. Van Eck would have been keeping the dregs' headquarters under surveillance, and now there were probably Stadwatch swarming over it, too. The thought of Stadwatch grunts searching his rooms, digging through his few belongings, sent fury prickling over Kaz's skin. The slat wasn't much, but Kaz had converted it from a leaky squat to a place you could sleep off a bender or lie low from the law without freezing your ass off in the winter or being bled by fleas in the summer. The slat was his, no matter what Per Haskell thought. Kaz steered the gondola into Zovercanal at the eastern edge of the barrel. Per Haskell liked to hold court at the Fairweather Inn on the same night every week, meeting up with his cronies to play cards and gossip. There was no way he'd miss it tonight. Not when his favored lieutenant, his missing favored lieutenant, had fallen out with a member of the Merchant Council and brought so much trouble to the dregs. Not when he'd be the center of attention. No windows faced onto the Knuckle, a crooked passage that bent between a tenement and a factory that manufactured cut-rate souvenirs. It was quiet, dimly lit, and so narrow it could barely call itself an alley. The perfect place for a jump. Though it wasn't the safest route from the slat to the fair weather, it was the most direct, and Per Haskell never could resist a shortcut. Kaz moored the boat near a small footbridge, and he and Inej took up their places in the shadows to wait. The need for silence understood. Less than 20 minutes later, a man's silhouette appeared in the lamplight at the mouth of the alley, an absurd feather jutting from the crown of his hat. Kaz waited until the figure was almost level with him before he stepped forward. Haskell. Per Haskell whirled, pulling a pistol from his coat. He moved quickly despite his age, but Kaz had known he would be packing iron and was ready. He gave Haskell's shoulder a quick jab with the tip of his cane, just enough to send a jolt of numbness to his hand. Haskell grunted, and the gun slipped from his grasp. Inej caught it before it could hit the ground and tossed it to Kaz.
Pricker!
Haskell said angrily, trying to wiggle his numb arm.
Where the hell have you been? And what kind of skiv rolls his own boss in an alley?
I'm not robbing you. I just didn't want you to shoot anyone before we had a chance to talk. Kaz handed the gun back to Haskell by its grip. The old man snatched it from his palm, grizzled chin jutting out stubbornly.
Always overstepping,
he grumbled, tucking the weapon into a pocket of his nubbly plaid jacket, unable to reach his holster with his incapacitated arm.
You know what trouble you brought down on me today, boy?
I do. That's why I'm here.
There was Studwatch crawling all over the slat in the Crow Club. We had to shut the whole place down, and who knows when we'll be able to start up again. What were you thinking, kidnapping a merchant's son? This was the big job you left town for? The one supposed to make me wealthy beyond my wildest dreams?
I didn't kidnap anyone. Not strictly true, but Kaz figured the subtleties would be lost on Pear Haskell.
Then what in Gason's name is going on?
Haskell whispered furiously, spittle flying.
You've got my best spider, he said, gesturing to Inej. My best shooter, my heartrender, my biggest bruiser.
Muzzin is dead.
Son of a bitch,
Haskell swore.
First Big Bolliger, now Muzzin. You're trying to gut my whole gang?
No, sir.
Sir, what are you about, boy?
Van Eck is playing a fast game, but I'm still a step ahead of him.
Don't look like it from here.
Good, said Kaz. Better no one sees us coming. Muzzin was a loss I didn't anticipate. But give me a few more days, and not only will the law be off your back, your coffers will be so heavy you'll be able to fill your bathtub with gold and take a swim in it. Haskell's eyes narrowed.
How much money are we talking?
That's the way, Kaz thought, watching greed light Haskell's gaze, the lever at work. 4 million kruger. Haskell's eyes widened. A life of drink and hard living in the barrel had turned the whites yellowy.
You trying to cozy me?
I told you this was a big haul.
Don't matter how high the pile of scrub is if I'm in prison. I don't like the law in my business.
I don't either, sir. Haskell might mock Kaz's manners, but he knew the old man lapped up every gesture of respect, and Kaz's pride could take it. Once he had his own share of Van Eck's money, he wouldn't have to obey another order or soothe Pear Haskell's vanity ever again. I wouldn't have gotten us into this if I didn't know we'd come out of it clean as choir boys and rich as saints. All I need is a little more time. Kaz couldn't help but be reminded of Jesper bargaining with his father, and the thought didn't sit well with him. Herr Haskell had never cared for anyone other than himself and the next glass of lager, but he liked to think of himself as the patriarch of a big, criminally inclined family. Kaz could admit he had a fondness for the old man. He'd given Kaz a place to begin and a roof over his head, even if Kaz had been the one to make sure it didn't leak. The old man hooked his thumbs in the pockets of his waistcoat, making a great show of considering Kaz's offer. But Haskell's greed was more reliable than a faithfully wound clock. Kaz knew he'd already started thinking of ways to spend the kruger.
All right, boy, said Haskell. I can portion you a little more rope to hang yourself. But I find out you're running game on me, and you'll regret it.
Kaz schooled his features to seriousness. Haskell's threats were almost as empty as his boasts. Of course, sir. Haskell snorted.
The deal is the deal, he said. And the wraith stays with me.
Kaz felt Inej stiffen by his side. I need her for the job.
Use Rotor. He's spry enough.
Not for this. Now Haskell bristled, puffing his chest out, the false sapphire of his tie pin glinting in the dim light.
You see what Pekka Rollins is up to? He just opened a new gambling hall right across from the Crow Club.
Kaz had seen it. The Kalish Prince. Another jewel in Rollins's empire. A massive betting palace decked out in garish green and gold as some ridiculous homage to Pekka Rollins's homeland.
He's muscling in on our holdings, said Haskell. I need a spider, and she's the best.
It can wait.
I say it can't! Head on down to the Gemmons Bank. You'll see my name at the top of her contract, and that means I say where she goes.
Understood, sir, said Kaz. And as soon as I find her, I'll let her know.
She's right!
Haskell broke off, his jaw dropping in disbelief.
She was right here!
Kaz forced himself not to smile. While Pear Haskell had been blustering, Inej had simply melted into the shadows and silently scaled the wall. Haskell searched the length of the alley and peered up at the rooftops, but Inej was long gone.
You bring her back here!
Haskell said furiously.
right now!
Kaz shrugged. You think I can climb these walls?
This is my gangbreaker. She doesn't belong to you!